Hello, everyone. Welcome to Spiritual Table Talk. It's me, Papa Hector, Ali Al, Care Bears here. It's us three. We're doing your podcast. We're doing spiritual attunement. I think Care Bear here had a strap line for that.
I did. So I just went through the illumination process, and I'm kind of ruminating on the side effects of that. And I'm noticing a bunch of side effects in my life from day to day. So I kind of wanted to talk about some of the things I'm noticing, and maybe they'll be helpful for other people.
Absolutely.
I think the first thing I'm noticing is that there's this distance between me and reactions. So I'm not knee-jerking when somebody says something or does something. There's kind of a pause, and I can respond when I want to, even when the person is being really, really inflammatory and saying messed up shit.
So that's a sign of progress right there. That's a big sign of progress, because that means that you're moving out of being parasitic. You're moving out of parasitic reactions, which is all based on like what that other person is saying or doing, et cetera, et cetera. That gap or that space gives you the ability to choose what your reaction or what your action to their action is going to be. Reaction, whatever you want to call it. So that space is what gives you that space to be able to choose that. When you're not in attunement, when you're not in alignment, what's going to happen is everything becomes automated, autopiloted. So what that actually indicates is, yes, you're making progress. B, it's going to be normal. C is that's also going to probably, at least for me, give you like a cool sense of distance from other people as well.
So one of the other things I noticed is that, and for reference, I work with a lot of really bombastic personalities in terms of industry. There are a lot of people who have really fragile egos. And the other thing I've noticed is that it's very easy for me to not feed them. And by this, I mean, like, I work with a lot of guys who have a lot of feelings about their worth as a person based on, you know, whether or not they feel like they won an argument. And it's really, really easy for me to just to drop out of the competition and be like, oh, you know, what a good idea. Or you're right. Or, hey, maybe we could do it this way. Or, wow, that's really. And these are things that like, it's not coming out of a sense of inferiority. It's kind of coming out of, well, okay, I mean, this is what you need, and it's all right.
See, because what happens is, as one becomes more and more spiritually attuned, we say you're actually becoming more and more an adult. And so, spiritual attuning, if we want to really call it what it is spiritual attuning is learning how to become a spiritual adult. And a spiritual adult doesn't play into the games of toddlers and children. So therefore, it doesn't come from a space of, it's not a value judgment, and it's not a judgment as far as like where that person is in their process. However, instead, it's an understanding of where that person is in their process, therefore being able to talk to them and meet them at their level. You have to meet someone at their level in order to take someone further. You can't try to grab from above and try to pull them up. It doesn't work. So you have to meet them at their level. So in other words, when you're talking to people who have the consciousness of toddlers, then you need to speak in the language of toddler consciousness. The same thing when you have people who are stuck in the consciousness of teenagers. Most people are stuck way before adulthood in their consciousness as far as how they deal with the world and how they deal with everyone and all their egos. When you're coming from the space of spiritual maturity, then what you see is what people need, what people want, where it makes sense to provide them either one or the other or not do so.
I think I'm still working on that last one. I wouldn't say I'm perfect yet. And I will say that sometimes when you give people what they want, even then, they'll get a little annoyed with you for one reason or the other, just for whatever reason. Maybe you remind them of somebody. Maybe they just woke up at the wrong side of the bed. I don't know.
So, right now, Eli is a toddler. Mm-hmm. Let's say he's playing with a ball. It drops. You take it away, etc. He throws a fit because he wants the ball. You may then turn around and give him the ball immediately. And he continues to still throw a fit. And sometimes now he doesn't even want the ball. Sometimes he's like, yes, it's my ball, but continues to throw a fit. Sometimes he takes the ball and then throws it off. He just wanted you not to have it and throws it off in order to continue to throw a fit. So that's the same thing. This is what we mean in spirituality, is that you have lots of people, you know, walking around, but they're really just still children inside old skin bags. I learned that from someone who practiced Native American practices, that in their tribe, they would call like old people, old skin bags. And so you can have a person and they can be like 80 years old, but their consciousness is still that of a toddler or a teenager or even a young adult. And you can have someone was really just a small child, and they could have an older consciousness. So, or better yet, a more evolved or attuned consciousness. That's basically what it boils down to. So sometimes, even when you give these adults what they want, they still turn around and throw a fit. Because the truth is, a toddler doesn't know what he wants. So even though that skin bag may be like 40, 50 years old, they're still a toddler. The difference is that unlike a toddler, they have a full range of vocabulary and expressions. And unlike a toddler, there's certain repercussions that they no longer have to worry about because they believe themselves to be an adult. The world says they are, so they have a certain degree of autonomy that a toddler doesn't.
So here's a question, right? My days have gotten really strange. And by that I mean it zips on by. Something happens, I do something, it continues to zip by, and I feel oddly timeless or oddly just sort of there, and things happen and then the next moment happens, and it's almost like having amnesia. Like I do remember what has happened, but it doesn't really matter, and if you ask me, I can regurgitate if you really need it, but it doesn't matter. Does that make sense?
Absolute sense. In the words of someone, nothing really matters. Someone said it. And nothing is really what matters. The actual nothingness. In that, when you're getting spiritually attuned, you're in the space of the divine. And that divine is that which we call eternal. There's many names for it. Divine, eternal, life, truth. These are all the same word. They're all, when we look at them, they're all the same word. So you're in that space of the eternal. So that's when you're in the eternal, you're in that which is timeless. So you're gonna feel a sense of timelessness, or also a sense like time is just like floating. It's just floating, right? And it kind of brings up the image of like a bunch of floating cities on clouds moving all around. But that's A. And then B is with that timelessness and sitting in the eternal, everything kind of becomes, I don't, the best word I could have it is like more almost like distant and distant, like dreams, like clouds that could go away. So that's why you end up having the amnesia. I would say, like me personally, I've forgotten more of my life than I can remember. I've forgotten it. That which is good and needed to became integrated. That which didn't need to be integrated wasn't. I can, if I really sit and put my mind to it, I can start to like recollect and recollect and build up recollections. But that's why the Christian says that when the difference between human and divine is that when a human forgives, he never forgets. When the divine forgives, the divine forgets. So what that means is like you're not sitting here keeping tabs and keeping track on wins and losses and who did you wrong and who you got to do back and da 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 da. None of that really matters because you start getting into the essence of nothing really matters. So then it seems like all activity, all happenings, everything that's going on, the best way to put it is that it's like happening on the periphery. It's happening on your periphery and it's moving all around, and yet you're like in the center watching it. And yeah, at times participating in all of it, but it's still moving around the periphery. It's as if you're in the very center core of your body, and there's a seed in the center of your core, and that's where you're sitting, and everything else is just happening around and outside of that core.
So this is probably, I don't know, it might be a duh question, but I often find myself listening to myself talk as if, I mean, like I know it's me talking, but I'm listening to what I'm saying, and part of me is thinking, okay, this is what this person's expecting. That's fine. We can do this. But there's not a lot of emotional commitment. And part of me thinks, you know, this sounds judgmental, but I don't mean it that way. But, you know, this is a waste of time. It's essentially meaningless. But okay. I mean, it makes them happy. It won't kill me. It's a way to pass time. But nothing that I say means anything really fundamental. And so I keep getting asked what's wrong by people who've known me for a while. And I'm like, nothing. I'm not upset about anything. And they're like, either you're not talking, because I'm just listening. I have nothing to say. I don't need to respond to what they're saying. Or I'm responding, but I guess the emotional affect of it just doesn't, like, it isn't hitting it for them. Either they expected something else or they're used to something else. But I'm getting a lot of like, are you okay? Is something wrong? Did something happen? I'm like, nothing.
Okay, so I want to take this in two ways. Number one, the first one is the re one of the reasons that they're asking what's wrong is exactly that they haven't expected, they have an expected emotional reaction that they expect for you to give them. So there, and when you don't give it to them, then they interpret that as something being wrong, which then also speaks to the fact that what they're saying to you and how they're interacting with you is intended to create an effect. AKA, like something that some of the people listening won't be able to understand. Some people will, depending if you've had these classes. They're basically using a control in order to try to control an emotional reaction from you. When they don't get that, to them, that communicates something's wrong. So that's A. B is that that's most people, most of the time. C is that's because, in essence, when you get into that eternal space, you kind of start to recognize and start to see the pointlessness of it all, especially at times the pointlessness of communication. Because most of the time, even what you are trying to say is not what's going to be understood.
Most of the time.
So then it kind of highlights the pointlessness of that. And yet, like you said, even though it can be pointless, it's still entertaining. What the hell else are you going to do?
Yeah.
Do you understand? So you might as well. And it comes to kind of like no harm, no foul. It's kind of like, you know, I could speak here and have the conversation, or I could not. It really doesn't matter. But it really doesn't take anything really deeply away from me. It gives me something to do to pass the time. And it is what it is. That's part of like the facts of truth. Like that's part of the facts of just how things are designed. And when you reach that eternal space, like really, because you're in that space also of the nothingness, you really ain't got much to say. You say because there's a need to communicate. The need to communicate is not even that it's a need to communicate. It's the simple fact that people communicate to you. So there's a response that usually happens. So you do respond. But it's not so much of a huge need to communicate. And therefore, it's easier for one to just kind of listen and not really do or say much. Oftentimes because one in that space, one really starts to become conservative over one's energy and how they spend it.
Okay, and here's how I know I'm not enlightened, because sometimes that annoys me. Sometimes people reaching out and trying to, I have a friend I'm very, very fond of, but this person reaches out and they want to bitch about their day and they want me to bitch about my day, and I can listen to them just fine, but then they'll start asking me about my day, and they're expecting me to, I guess, make something up or for there to be some kind of exchange there, and then they'll start sort of prodding me to try to get a response. And I have to confess, it's not huge annoyance, but it is, yeah, part of me is kind of like, do we have to do this? Really? And I, you know, as time goes on, I'll probably get to the point where I say, look, don't.
Now, is that a place where was your point of connection prior to the change for you?
Yep.
So there you go. So in the case of that friend, your relationship with each other is really based upon bitching about work and about shit, and mostly shit that really didn't matter.
No, that's completely fair. And the person alternates between bitching, trying to get me to bitch, and asking for reassurance. And it's, I can do that a couple of times a week at max before I'm just like, I'm tired.
So this is what happens. What happens is a lot of people say this. When they get spiritually attuned, when you're spiritually evolving and the other people around you are not, what happens is the people you deal with and that you need to be spending time with, all that stuff has to start slowly changing. Because like that, in that relationship experience, that right there, the point of connection is bitching and moaning and assurance. So that's the point of connection. It's the point of like the track or the dynamic that your relationship has had with that person for so long. And they obviously, right, they're in that parasitic mindset and method of dealing with life. That's not something that, unless that person were to really start working on themselves, is going to like really make that much of a shift. So the likelihood is, like, even if you cut this person off, even if, like, or if you stayed around 5 years from now, 10 years from now, unless they've really worked on that, they're probably still going to be bitching and moaning and needing assurances. And so maybe it's something where, in that type of case, I would have to slowly distance myself, because it starts, you start to actually, when you're getting spiritually attuned, you start to see where energy leakages are. And you start to see where, like, basically the life is being bled out of you over nonsense, you know? And so you stop wanting to deal as much with certain people, etc. And it's best if, like, while you're still right now kind of a little bit more in control of things, that you go ahead and, like, slowly back yourself away rather than doing it for a long time to the point where one day, like, the way that you back away might be kind of, like, not so nice.
Yeah. I don't know that I can follow that up with anything. Just, it's... Yeah. So I did go through a period during that class where I was feeling kind of depressed, at least a little bit, because if you're used to life needing to have a meaning, you know, like, I get up in the morning because I'm a good person and I do blah de blah de blah de blah. I get up in the morning because my job is meaningful, or all the rest of that. There's like a dark period where you realize that it's not and it doesn't matter, and you think, oh God, my life is. And I that's almost entirely gone. I occasionally have moments where I'm like, what am I doing with myself? And the answer is, I'm here.
Lighten it up.
I'm just here. I don't know. Other than that, what I can say. I will say, though, that it does sort of, it doesn't isolate you, because you don't feel isolated, but you do kind of have a lot of thoughts about your interactions with people. You know, you look around and you look at how you talk to them or how you interact, and you think, is this really, like, why am I doing this? And it actually kind of, I watch you sometimes and how you deal with people, and I'm kind of amazed at you, the deftness with which you, deftness with which you deal with people despite all this. So can you talk a little bit about reaching the point where you really don't have the parasitic thoughts or relationships and just sort of looking out at people en masse?
Yeah. So when you get more and more deeply as that space in the eternal as your center, that basically slowly dissipates and disappears. It slowly dissipates and disappears because, like, there's a stage at which usually most people, you're going to go through a stage where it's like, oh, I really want to help everyone. I wish everyone could get on page, da 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 da. That stage could, for some people, it passes quicker than others. Then there's another stage where it's like, fuck all these people. Okay, they all suck. Then there's a usual stage where it's like, oh, I feel bad for all these pitiful motherfuckers. That's usually another stage. I feel kind of bad for them and I pity them. But pity them is still, even though it may be seen as something positive, it's still something negative because there's still something there. Right? There may even be a stage where it's like, I wish people would be different. You're going to say?
Actually, this kind of leads me into thoughts about death, because I've also had that on the mind. And I'm, you know, hope this is relevant and appropriate. When I see news items about someone dying, instead of feeling personally implicated or guilty, I think, you know, not it's okay, but they're going back into the cycle, wherever they're going into the cycle. They're not, you know, they didn't get annihilated by dying. And so I just, I'm having a really weird relationship to that, or to thinking about it, where it's a lot, I don't know, it doesn't make me as anxious, or I don't, which is not to say I want to go out and fucking die immediately. There are some things I'd like to do in between points A and B. But it doesn't seem to, like, I'm looking at it really differently. Like, I used to be very motivated by Captain Save-A-Ho, whatever the female version of that. You know, in this huge upset about injustice and about people being harmed or dying. And now I find myself looking at it and I'm like, I mean, yeah, that kind of sucks. But I'm not, they're not annihilated. So, you know, they'll go back through again and either they'll end up here or somewhere else. But the spirit that they are is not lost. It's just going somewhere else for lessons, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So what happens is you become okay with, more and more okay with death, and more okay with those things, because you understand the reality of life and the cycle of life. And as you become more accepting of life, when as you become more involved in the eternal, you become more accepting of life. In that acceptance, that true acceptance of life, true acceptance of life means no judgments. It means I see a murderer, I don't see a bad person or a good person. It means it's a part of life. It's like really judgment free. It's just like part of a mix of a big soup of everything that's all involved. As that happens, there's less of this kind of like, oh, it sucks for them to die, et cetera, et cetera. That's one. Number two is, as you're releasing some of the bonds of things that you previously thought were important, you start to free yourself up in such a way that you can start to spend energy where it's actually important. Doing so means there is a greater confidence in life itself, in the fact that life knows what life is doing. And so there's less and less of a need to feel like, oh, that's so unjustified, or that's so justified, or it needs to be corrected, or I need to save a hoe, or anything like that. If a hoe fall down, a hoe was meant to fall down. It starts to become more of like, I accept that life be that way. Now, if a hoe fall down and I happen to be there and I could catch her and I do, then that's so. And if a hoe fell down and I didn't move quick enough and I didn't catch her and she fell, then that's what it means. And that either one is totally okay, because it's not for me to determine, it's for life to determine.
Right, so we're back to judgment here. Right, because one of the thoughts that used to preoccupy me was, you know, how am I stopping injustice from happening, which is like this huge, you know, it's this huge deal. Like, how am I personally contributing to, everything getting better or more fair or more good or what have you. And there's lots of guilt and lots of time and lots of energy that gets tied up into, am I contributing to the right causes? Did I upset this person? Like, and it's not, I mean, that energy gets freed up, right? So you're not spending all this time thinking, trying to think ahead of yourself and, did I upset this person? Did I offend this person? Am I a good person? Did I contribute to the right causes? Am I personally leaving the place better than I found it? And if you'd said that to me a year ago, I would have said, oh, you nihilist. Like, what are you out here doing that you have that kind of philosophical? You out there like killing people or something? Like, what the hell? And now I don't know. I feel oddly neutral on the whole issue.
Yeah, that's what happens. Neutrality. And when there's total neutrality, it is the same thing as total acceptance. Acceptance is not a tolerance. Acceptance means total neutrality. It's neither here nor there. It doesn't move me this way nor that way. And you do things then because you choose to do them, not because you're obligated to do them, not because you're obligated to make the world a better place, help people, or et cetera. It's because you choose to do them. And it doesn't have to be a long, involved, like, analysis of why you do what you do, just that you do. And that whatever that you do basically comes forward. And when it comes forward, it just runs through. So then you don't be worried. Because you're not, in essence, it's like, it's very hard to explain in words, but it's basically choosing without choosing. So basically, it's moving with the currents and yet still choosing without having to choose. It's just a natural pool. And so with that, if you're choosing, but you're not choosing, and really you're not choosing because you're flowing, then what happens? All this extra stuff, like, am I guilty? Or am I innocent for leaving the world a better place or doing this or doing that? All that is erased.
It's kind of a relief. I honestly have spent a lot of time agonizing over whether or not I was a good person and whether or not I was behaving ethically towards people, and not worrying about that is nice. I don't know how else to put it than that. Although I suppose it probably doesn't make me a nice person. Those are two very different things.
It depends on the who defines nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the common definition of a nice person is a polite person. A polite person is usually an inauthentic person. Only if you are inauthentic can you always be super polite, which can always then be interpreted as nice. But if you have a real nice person is an authentic person. But an authentic person is not a reactive person, is not a, like we discussed in another class, was like a, speak my truth type person. It's none of that. A true nice person is authentic to that which is eternal in them. So they are a flow. When you're in the flow, you don't be worried. You're just confident. You don't know what you're going, where you're going, and you don't always know what you're doing. And you're not worried to, you don't even need to know. And you don't even need to know, like, all of that is of comes out of fear, the need to know where you're going, what you're doing next, what's going to happen, and all of that. When you're in that flow of the divine, you don't need to know. Wherever it is that you're going to go, whatever it is that you're going to do, whatever it is that you say, you're going to be A1 okay. Even if that means that you die, you're still A1 okay, because you're not identified 100% with the body. You know that the body is a part of you, but it is not you. It's a part of you. And so you're willing to go. That's why the thing about it is why people and why society generally has stomped out mystics, mysticism, all these things, is because that means that you're impossible to predict and also impossible to control. But you aren't rebelling. To rebel is you're fighting against something. You are being just how you are. And in that being how you are, to others, it can come off as a rebellion. But it's not a rebellion. You're not a revolutionary either. You're not sitting here trying to change the world. A revolutionary, a rebel, you may seem like a rebel, but you're not rebelling. Rebelling is going against something. You're neither for this or against this. You move wherever the flow goes. And sometimes it may go for this. Sometimes it can go against this. Sometimes it can go neither. So that you're not a revolutionary, because you're not trying to like get all these people to revolt and follow after you and like da da da. You are a revolutionary in a different sense of a word, in the sense that you're turning yourself inwards and you're following the natural inner force of the divine that flows within you. So you're revolving, you're turning inwards, but you're not a revolutionary in the sense of like save the world and all that other stuff. That's not, it's, you recognize it's not your job. Your job is to go with in the flow of the divine. In some of those actions, you may make the world a better place. In some of those actions, some may say you made it a worse place. In some of those actions, you may think you've made it a better place, and it may have been a better place in one sense without you even recognizing that you took away in another sense, right? So, like, whoever created paper, I'm sure, you know, they made the world a better place to a certain degree. In another degree, for a long time, paper helped to lead to, like, deforestation and all the other things. So, right. With that whole thing is that you see the totality of your actions. That basically almost anything for become immediately is for something, is against something. And so then you understand, though, that you can be for it and against it at the same time. So that is our conclusion on this table talk. Spiritual attunement and kind of like the changes that go throughout, that happen to one throughout that process. As always, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. Many blessings. Until next time.